Persan up towards the corner at the 400. Incentivizers moving up now. Then Delphi a length and a half away, battling on from Montefilia Nonconformist. Great Houses cut the corner, followed by Jewess Holmesman. Incentivize goes for home, 250 out. Incentivize races clear. Two lengths in front of Persan. Great House, Nonconformist, Montefilia, followed by Chapada. But Incentivize is coming away. Four lengths in front, and Incentivize, what a star, won the Caulfield Cup from Nonconformist. Dead heat third, Persan or Montefilia.
What a call it was from Eddie Hill, and what a race it was. What a performance from Incentivize in the Carlton Draft Caulfield Cup on the weekend. Dominant. One of the most dominant we've seen since the Great Might and Power, as Whitey alluded to a little bit earlier this morning. Think about this for a second. On April the 11th this year, Incentivize won its first race. April the 11th. It was on a soft six. It was a $22,000 maiden at the Sunshine Coast. Steve Tregay was the trainer, the owner, and the breeder. He's still involved in all those things, except for perhaps the training bit at the moment. But I'm sure he's pretty keen to talk about the weekend that was. Steve, good morning.
Yeah, morning, fellas.
Great to have you with us. What was it like to watch your horse do what it did on the weekend, considering that in 6 months ago, 5 months ago, it only won its first start?
Yeah, it's been rather a hectic ride because he just doesn't seem to know how to get beaten. Once he found the post, he just, the first time, he must like it. it was good.
Well, nine on the trot suggests that he does quite like it pretty well. But yeah. But what changed, Steve? Because he'd lost a couple of races, admittedly shorter distances, 1350, 1400 and 1850 at one stage before he won over the mile in that first race. What changed when he won?
Well, nothing changed, really. It's just a question of the horse needing time. He was always a backward, big, tall bugger that looked like he was going to take time to develop. And he just took time. His first prep, he had one only start and pulled up very shin sore, so he put a line through that. The second start, he was first up in a 7-furlong maiden at Eagle Farm, and he found a bit of trouble in the straight but still ran on quite well, so we were encouraged by that. So it's been really ever since then that he's just continued to win and do well, apart from one day when he got knocked out of a race. So, he just seems to like it.
Did you always know that he was going to be something special, though, at some stage when he developed and got to the distance range that he needed, that he would be a dominant Group 1 performer, or is this a little bit out of the box from what you're expecting?
No, I don't think you ever know that. I mean, I don't think you ever know that, or I certainly am not smart enough to know that when they're young, and I don't think too many people are. You just see a nice horse, and he looks like a stayer, and you just progress along with him and give him the time, and don't worry too much about what he does in the early stages if he's got little things like shin soreness and other issues that he had, and he had plenty of them. He had a few head issues to start with. He didn't want to do always the things the way we wanted to do them, so you just keep putting him to work and going as far as you can with him until he shows signs of stress and not wanting to be there, and you turn him out again and start again. And he was back and forth about probably six or seven times before he ever looked like he'd get to the races.
So, Steve, was the plan always to bring Incentivize down to Melbourne, obviously to race in these big races. But was the plan for you not to be the trainer anymore? Were you still going to train the horse, but because of the situation that we find ourselves in with COVID, you've had to pass the reins over to Peter Moody?
Yeah, no, not at all. I didn't really have any plans. You just make it up as you go along and take one race at a time. And when all we were interested in really at one stage was there was a race called the Provincial Stayers Final at Ipswich on a Saturday that was 2500, and he was a horse that we always thought the distances, as they got longer, he'd get better. And we just targeted that race. They had to run in a couple of provincial races leading up to it to qualify for it, and he won a couple of them and was well and truly qualified, so we just pressed on to that race, which he won quite easily. So everything we were thinking about the horse was coming to fruition. But I'm not really in a position. We travel our horses too. We've been to Sydney with them. We go to Mackay and Rockhampton. But I'm basically a farmer, and I train because I love to train our own horses, and you're the master of your own destiny. So I've got plenty on my plate here, and I can't really get away for more than maybe a week or two. And to me, it made sense that he would have to go south. So he would have gone to some other trainer in the south to target these races, even if we hadn't sold half of him. But Peter got involved, and he was obviously keen to train him. And the rest is history. Ray did ring me early in the piece, but at that stage I wasn't interested in selling him. But after he won, I think it was the Stayers Final at Ipswich, we just thought, well, he's going somewhere, and he previously won at Eagle Farm easily, so he was already a benchmark Saturday winner. So I just had a proposition put to me, and I thought, well, it suits. It's a win-win situation. I get to keep an interest in the horse, and let's do that. I made up my mind in half an hour.
So, Steve, there's a big difference between winning easily in Ipswich or at Eagle Farm compared to what he did on Saturday. Take us through what that was like to see him, I guess, through this entire preparation in Melbourne.
Oh, well, I suppose you worry all the way along that, he's been under our care all the time, and as much as Pete's a great trainer, he's got the record on the board, so I'm more than happy for him to be there and have been all the way along. You just worry that everything is so different for them. They're out of there. He's been backwards and forwards from our stables on course in town to the farm all his life. Never travelled much. So you worry that things are different. Different direction, different training regime. Everybody does things a little bit differently, and just worry whether he's going to cope with that. But it's been handled pretty well in that we were worried about all those things, and we were thinking of flying him down at one stage, and that proved difficult. So he ended up going down on transport, which I wasn't overly worried about, because it sort of toughened him up a bit, I think. And all those things will, lead into him being a more rounded sort of a proposition, I suppose.
So, Steve, is it like sending your son away to boarding school, or your son going off to university in another state? How are you watching? How are you not having the control necessarily? Do you jump on the phone to Pete and have a chat to him about it? How do you feel about that sort of element to it all?
No, I'm quite happy to hand it over. I mean, I've had horses trained by Friedman's in the past, and Neville Beck's trained one for us early, and I'm quite happy to hand it over, because you can't hand it over and then be telling them what to do all the time. That's just become a nuisance. But in the early days, I certainly had some ideas about what the horse appreciated, and the fact that we didn't do a lot with him because he was never a great doer, and he's a light-framed horse. So I passed all that information on to Peter. I told him what sort of supplements were used on him in terms of vitamins and things like that, because I was keen for us to keep as much the same as we could. Basically, once you do all that, you can't be pestering all the time. And I get the owner reports from Pete. I talk to him occasionally, and not very often, though, but I don't need to.
So Pete's saying probably not Cox Plate, straight onto the Melbourne Cup. Do you agree with that, or do you don't want to get involved in that? What do you think should be the path from here?
No, I certainly have an opinion, and I've made my opinion known to Peter, but we agree on most things, so it's not a problem. But I don't think it's ideal to go back in distance on a week's backup when he's had a what could be a tough run on a soft track. And he tells me that he's felt the run a bit. So, we just have to see how he does this week and see if he comes through it well enough to go to the Melbourne Cup. But I certainly have never been keen to go to the Cox Plate. The pay-up was purely just insurance in case something went wrong this week. He might have got a stone bruise, or he might have got a temperature on Thursday night or something. It was just insurance, really.
Well, we don't want a stone bruise or anything for the horse heading into the first Tuesday in November. Steve, can I ask you, you're the breeder of this mighty machine as well. Miss Argyle is the mare of Incentivise. Have you sent her back to Seamus Award since, or plan to on the back of all this?
No, she died having a bifold last year, but she's been a mighty mare. She's produced four stakes winners. I think we've only got one out of her that hasn't won, and he's not raced yet. He's a lovely big four-year-old unraced. So, no, we haven't got any more. We've got one daughter of hers that we kept. We had another one that we sold that Aussie Kerr recently bought at the Melbourne sale.
Yep.
But I'm just looking at her right now. His sister to him had a Spirit of Boom foal, her first foal, and the vet just looked at her with a view to sending her back to Spirit of Boom this week. So, you know, we've got one out of her. Most of the others in mail.
Okay, and what are you farming just on the land there? What do you got going?
Oh, just horses and cattle, a few cattle to eat the weeds. They'll eat the weeds, the horses are a bit fussier.
Well, it sounds like you've got your hands full anyway, and I'm sure there's plenty on the mind in the build-up to the first Tuesday in November, Steve. It's a great story, and it's great to get your element of it. Appreciate your time. Have a good day today.
No worries. Thanks, fellas.